It is the 29th day of March, year of our Lord, 2024. It is Good Friday. The lectionary recommendation for this solemn day is from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, beginning with verse 1, all the way to verse 42 of chapter 19. It's a powerful day, a solemn day, but it's good. And you know why. But we'll get into that. Are you ready to get into God's Word? I am. Verse 1. When he, Jesus, had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jewish leaders that it would be good if one man died for his people. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You aren't one of these men's disciples, too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I've always taught in synagogues or at the temple, where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there, warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now, it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace, because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. With this he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They shouted back, No, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they slapped him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered here, Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to him, Here is the man. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, Crucify! Crucify! But Pilate answered, You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. The Jewish leaders insisted, We have a law, and according to that law he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? Jesus answered, You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the Stone Pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. Here is your king, Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, Take him away, take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. Chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven to one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, Woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, Here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge in a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, It is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. Soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it and with the spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. But it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. This, dear friends, is the word of God for the people of God, and we say gracias a Dios. Thanks be to God. Dear friend, your name is written here, and so is the name of Venadio Valverde Jr. Why? Because we caused this. It was for our sins that all of this took place. All that you heard me read, or if you read it on your own from verse 1 of chapter 18 to the last verse, 42 of chapter 19, our picture should be on each verse. It's painful for me to know that God's love for us is so great, even in spite of our sinfulness. God did not spare his own son for our sake. As a child and as a youth, I wondered why the horrific of this events could be called good. Why isn't Good Friday when nothing that I read is good? It was all painful and terrible and fatal. But here's what we know. Good Friday is called good, despite the solemn and somber nature of the events it commemorates, because it marks the day when Christians believe Jesus Christ willingly suffered and died on the cross for the redemption of humanity's sins. While the crucifixion represents a moment of immense suffering and sacrifice, Christians view it as a pivotal moment in God's plan for salvation. The death of Jesus paved the way for the forgiveness of sins and the reconciliation of humanity with God. The term good and Good Friday may have originated from an older use of the word good to mean holy or pious. Another interpretation suggests that it comes from the Old English or Germanic word gut, which means sacrificial or holy. In this context, Good Friday is seen as a day of deep significance and reverence rather than a celebration of happiness or joy. Ultimately, while the events of Good Friday are undeniably sorrowful, Christians believe that they lead to the ultimate triumph of Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which brings hope, redemption, and new life to believers. Therefore, friends, Good Friday is called good because it marks the beginning of the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan for you and me, all humanity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we approach this solemn day of Good Friday, we come before you with hearts open to understanding and minds ready to learn. For those who are encountering the significance of this day, For the first time, we ask for your guidance and wisdom to illuminate their understanding. Lord, may they grasp the depth of your love displayed on the cross, where Jesus, your Son, willingly laid down his life for the redemption of humanity. Help them to comprehend the magnitude of the sacrifice made out of pure love for each and every one of us. Grant them the grace to contemplate the meaning of Jesus' suffering and death, recognizing it as the ultimate expression of your mercy and grace. May they find comfort in knowing that through Christ's sacrifice, forgiveness and reconciliation are offered to all who believe in him. As they journey through this day of remembrance, may their hearts be touched by the profound significance of Jesus' sacrifice and the hope of resurrection that follows. Lead them to a deeper understanding of your unfailing love and the eternal life found in Christ Jesus. We pray for clarity of mind, humility of heart, and openness to your Spirit as they seek to comprehend the profound mysteries of Good Friday. May this day be a transformative experience that draws them closer to you and deepens their faith in your saving grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, we pray. Amen. Friends, have a sacred and solemn day in the Lord. Here's your call to action. Let us use this Good Friday as an opportunity for reflection, repentance, and renewal. If you don't yet know Jesus, no better time than now to know how much he loves you and cares for you, and to come into you if you would but invite him. I love you and thank God for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. I'm Pastor Daniel Verde. I want to say on a personal note, thank you for your prayers. I see my doctor early on Friday morning, and let's see what we discover. I also spoke with Mr. Eddie Munoz. He called me tonight. He's in good spirits and recovering well. He was more concerned about me than it seemed that we are about him, but we praise God he's doing well. May he soon regain full health. Thank you for all your prayers for him as well. I love you. God loves you. Jesus loves you so much, he died for you. Amen.